and welcome to a TMCNet podcast. This is Rich Tarani. I'm the president of TMC and the group editor-in-chief of both TMC and TMCNet. Today we've got the pleasure of having Dieter Thompson, who is the CEO of TAG, on the line. Dieter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Rich. I'm great. Thank you.
Great. Could you give me a little bit of an overview on TAG and the company and exactly what you guys do in the market?
Yeah, absolutely. I formed TAG in 2001, and what we do specifically is we're a procurement organization helping enterprise customers that spend at least $1 million a year in voice and data networks in the procurement activities of those services. And those networks range from your traditional voice and data domestic networks, local services and wireless, up into including all of the global environment services, both in the IP space and traditional telephony. So we bundle that together. We help our clients evaluate the spend, look for the best alternatives, and then assist them in the negotiation of the best contracts and pricing for those services with all your traditional vendors, whether it be AT&T, Verizon, and then the global carriers, BT, and others. So that's our core business, Rich, and we spend probably 75% of our income and revenue comes from that line of business. We also have a benchmarking business where we provide pricing benchmarks to clients who want to administer rate reviews or just look for pricing opportunities as they're deploying new networks. And then a really fast-growing part of our business is our TEM business, and I think we're going to talk about that, which is called IntelliTrack, where we do the traditional bill management and bill allocation and auditing, and then we wrap our professional services package around that. And between that makes up the core TAG business today.
Okay, that's interesting. Then your company is probably, just generally speaking, in a great position just to see what's happening in the market trend-wise. Is that correct?
Well, absolutely. We do a couple hundred RFPs a year and have ongoing daily discussions with the carriers and clients. And so we're in a very unique position to understand where are the carriers going relative to strategy, pricing, deployment of services, and then what are the struggles and challenges and opportunities the clients are trying to solve. And we're really in the middle of all that. So that does give us a very unique perspective and database, if you will, on the industry and what's happening.
So tell us, what is happening?
I'll answer it two ways, Rich. There's a lot, and then there's not enough. As we all know, there's been a lot of consolidation in the telecom space 2 years ago, and quite frankly, it's been very disappointing for us and I think your average enterprise buyer of telephony, because all of the things that were promised by the carriers and candidly the FCC based on consolidation, which was the integration of services, a stronger competitive base from a profitability perspective, integration of bills, discounts, new service offerings. None of that has really happened. And what we have is lack of competition, a tightening up, if you will, of the marketplace, flexibility from contracts, terms, conditions, and a desire by the carriers to start to firm up pricing. And so from our perspective, we're very disappointed that we got a lot of the negatives we were concerned about, and quite frankly, we haven't seen a lot of the benefits that we expected. And when you look at what might motivate the carriers to do that, there doesn't seem to be a lot there. So we're expecting through 2008 and 2009 a lot more of the same, which is really putting the burden on our clients to be more creative and innovative. And I think as we go through this today, Rich, we're going to talk about what are their struggles and how are they implementing new services. But it's a very challenging market. And one of the ways we know that is we track a lot of price points. And we have a very robust database of every price point for every service globally from all the carriers. And we track two different numbers, what we call price point, which is the lowest price in the market, that we see for a particular volume, for a particular service, at a particular carrier, and then the average, which is all the prices we're aware of. And we're seeing that gap really start to grow between what the best price is and the average price. And I think the reason for that is many times clients and buyers of telephony are starting to believe the rhetoric from the carriers that because of the consolidation and all the other things that they talk about, that prices are starting to firm up and actually go up in certain areas. And clients with that aren't what we call properly advised, I think, are buying into that. And so we're seeing sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy relative to the average market pricing going up, when reality says that if you are properly leveraged and aggressive in your negotiating, pricing is still continuing to go down. And we're seeing that gap. And that's just one of the many things that we're seeing is really a negative to what's happened with the consolidation. And lastly, the basic terms and conditions in the contracts that we used to get as a consulting company for our clients on a regular basis, we're almost back to the original paper and their generic terms and conditions, having to refight for a lot of ground that we had fought for and won years ago. So I think it's a challenging environment for a lot of our clients. And lastly, for the last 20 years, I call it the cocaine strategy. The CFO community goes to IT every year and says, get me 20% out of this IT budget. And you just went to your carrier, you beat them up, and you got that. And now that is a much more challenging environment to get. You have to be, A, more aggressive in your negotiation. You have to be more leveraged. You can't really have a sole source relationship very effectively anymore. And B, you have to look for alternatives like IP deployment and new technologies to drive those cost benefits. And that's something we'll talk about today, Rich, because that's really a direction that TAG's going in.
No, that's fascinating. I mean, it to me is also interesting because from a regulatory standpoint, many of the people involved in high-level positions and regulations have said that there's more than enough competition. It's interesting that, as you mentioned, in some cases there isn't, and there's price increases, which is surprising.
Well, again, the net price that you can achieve is going down, but the average price that clients are paying because they're buying into this rhetoric is starting to firm up and go up. So the gap between what you should pay and what clients are paying is starting to widen, which is the first time we've seen that in 5 or 6 years since we've been tracking this, particularly in the local services arena. This is really a pet peeve for me, quite frankly, Rich, that I think there's been a lot of missteps in the regulation there. When the FCC overturned the UNAP regulations and basically killed the majority of the CLECs and then allowed all this consolidation, right now there is very, very little competition for the local loop or local arena. And in fact, we're seeing a lot of stability in price. We're seeing prices go up in those areas. I'm seeing carriers on a regular basis no bid because they just feel like, why should I even go after it? You can't go anywhere. So really, it's really come to roost, I think, in the local arena more than anywhere else. And until somebody, and I know Sprint tried for a long time and hasn't been able to pull it off, which leads to a lot of their problems, which is also not helping the competitive environment. Until someone comes in with a wireless technology to pressure the copper local line, I don't see anything really changing in that arena, and that's a big portion of the spend for lots of clients, particularly when you look at retail clients, and we represent a lot of those. And going into this now possible recession and downturn, there's been more and more cost pressures on those type of line items, and the market really isn't there. So I think the FCC has done all of us a real disservice, quite frankly, in how they've allowed the local arena in particular to become very uncompetitive.
And you're certainly not alone in those comments. I hear that quite often, and it's sad in many ways to see what happened to the CLEC market and how many healthy ones there were and how that market has really dwindled. And I guess part of the blame probably also lies on the VCs that funded so many companies and thought they would all be successful.
Yeah, well, absolutely. There's no doubt there was an overbuilding of that, just like there was in the bubble when there was an overbuilding of networks and capacity. But at the same time, I think the pendulum's gone too far the other direction relative to a healthy competition to drive the pricing and stability in the market. And we're really seeing that the carriers have an advantage, particularly in that space. And I see a lot of clients really throwing their hands up in frustration and taking the burden on being innovative on their own shoulders now. And again, that's, we'll talk about that later in the show, but that's a lot what we're talking about now is managed services, outsourcing services, the network tower, how you integrate IP services. That's really the battleground now, I think, more than what's been just traditional beat up your carrier procurement type work.
So you talked a little bit about IntelliTrack earlier on, and I'm fascinated about that product line just because telecom expense management is such a hot area, and I seem to be writing about it all the time, and I get a lot of comments just about companies that are looking for those sorts of services. Can you go into some depth on IntelliTrack?
Yeah, absolutely. And TEM, the TEM industry is an interesting one because it is hot. There's a lot of discussion about it, but it's a very undefined space. Everybody defines TEM a little bit differently, and I think at its core, it's basically a software engine to audit and manage invoices. And there are lots of those people out there, and there are a lot of engines, and I suspect there will be a lot of consolidation through 08 and 09 from the small players into a handful of the larger players. But at the same time, the TEM industry is moving very quickly and evolving into more of delivery and managed services. So what we try to do is take our engine, which we think compares well with anybody's basic telephony engine, and then wrap our professional services around it so that we include vendor management services, we include procurement services, benchmarking services, so that if we're managing your invoices for you at any given time, we can, for a fixed fee, help you with pricing on a circuit or a new application. We administer your rate reviews on an annual basis. When it comes time to do the RFP, those fees are baked into it. So it's more of a life cycle management, if you will, of that expense stream than an annual event type thing. And we're seeing a lot of people very interested in that because of the ongoing daily struggles they have with the carriers and things we talked about. And then as you think where that's going, it's migrating or crossing the bridge, Rich, into managed services and delivery. And we have clients now in a big area, growth area, is management of the wireless environment. That's a technology that doesn't fit very well in the voice or data arena, if you will, within your normal IT organization. And it's a very personal service, so it's not fun to manage if you're an IT manager. And so there's a very fast-growing business now to outsource the fulfillment and management of the wireless environment, which includes the procurement, rate plan optimization, and help desk and fulfillment around the devices. So we see that as an offshoot of TEM, just like we're starting to see MACD, provisioning, break fix, and monitoring as a growth from TEM.
So it's interesting that you made that comment that the cell phones are a very personal thing. So people get offended if MIS comes after them and says, you know, why do you have this sort of plan versus that sort of plan?
No, it's more nobody cares about an MPLS circuit or a minute on a network, but your phone is a very personal thing to you, and so when it doesn't work or someone forces you to move from one carrier to another carrier, you become it's a much more aggravating thing, and so it's harder for an IT manager to deal with the executive suite, if you will, within his company when the executive's traveling in Europe and the phone doesn't work, or he's at his lake house and the phone doesn't work. And so we find a lot of people not really wanting to touch that hot potato, and it's a new thing that they're just getting their arms around, and it's instead of building an organization to support it, we're seeing a lot of clients look to just outsource that whole environment and not have to take that on. Because, again, it's a very challenging environment because not one network works for everybody in their personal circumstance. And I use myself, Rich, as an example. I live in Dallas, but I have a lake place 100 miles west of here with only works as AT&T. So if you went to a Verizon corporate plan for me, I couldn't be on there because it doesn't work where I spend my weekends. And you get into all of these kind of personal circumstances, which I think drives IT managers. And I throw in the same bucket video teleconferencing. That's one of those hot potato technologies where it's usually the CEO who's using it, and when it's broken, it's a big problem for everybody. And so it's another one where it's easy to outsource that. And I see a lot of that in wireless. It's also an area that is ripe with opportunity. So we're doing a lot of procurement efforts in the wireless space, saving clients lots of money. And the big thing that our clients are struggling with right now is corporate liability versus personal liability. And so we spent a lot of time on policy plans. What are the advantages to taking on the liability for those phones versus doing it through a payroll reimbursement type situation? So we spent a lot of time with clients helping work through policy issues and then getting into the procurement issues. But lots of money being saved. And that's really an area. There's two areas, Rich, and I don't mean to bounce around, but there's two areas, I think, where IT organizations are trying to find some synergies and savings. One is in the wireless arena, because up until now, it's grown very fast without a lot of oversight from IT or management from a shared services perspective. And they're getting their hands around the budgets and starting to rationalize those. And again, some are doing it in-house, and there's a very fast-growing business to outsource that entire suite of services. The other area is foreign services, what I call foreign-to-foreign voice and data. Most of our clients have a good handle on their global WAN, but if it comes to dealing with the foreign PTTs for foreign-to-foreign data or voice services, those budgets are just coming to the central services groups in our clients and based in the U.S., but they get a lot of geopolitical pushback, and also just from the language barriers and the service issues that they're facing, that is a real growth engine for us to help them get those, rationalize them, put them into some type of a shared services model from a procurement perspective, save money, and then help rationalize that from a technology and infrastructure perspective. Those are the two areas, I think, in the procurement space that our clients are really spending a lot of time on.
So you recently had an opportunity and took advantage of it to sell your company to Alcatel-Lucent, and I'm really curious about your decision to make that sale, and also their decision to embark upon getting in this space. So could you share some of your thoughts on those two points?
Absolutely, and I'm glad we're getting to that, because I think that's really important, not only obviously for us at Alcatel-Lucent, but where I think the future of the industry is going. Actually, Alcatel-Lucent came and approached me a year ago December about wanting to acquire TAG, and we had done some work for them in some other engagements where telephony was a big portion of it, and they hired us to help them rationalize in the procurement arena and save them some money and really help with the profitability of some of their outsourcing deals. And so they saw an opportunity, like a lot of manufacturing companies who are trying to grow their services business, that the network tower is going to be a very fast-growing outsourcing space. And they're uniquely positioned to capitalize on that, because they're a network engineering company that drives and builds a lot of the technologies that carriers are deploying and clients are using today. And so from a services perspective, they wanted to get into the network outsourcing business to help clients rationalize, deploy IP services, and manage and run those. And they have a very robust business for today helping carriers run those networks, and how could they take that into the enterprise space? So that was really their motivation, is can they get the internal expertise to help rationalize the telecom or transport spend of an outsourcing arrangement, which typically is 50 to 70% of the total spend, and at the same time, can they figure out how to grow into that business in the enterprise arena? And for us, Rich, we were facing a problem in our business that says the procurement space, because the things we talked about, is not going to be as profitable over the long term as it has with the consolidation of carriers and firming up the pricing and the things we talked about. And the TEM industry as a whole moving towards managed services, and a lot of my competitors have either been buying or spending lots of money to build NOCs and provisioning centers and help desks, and quite frankly, not doing that very effectively from a service delivery perspective. And in fact, in certain cases, some of my competition who had done that had failed to deliver services very well, which was helping my procurement business. And so I saw the handwriting on the wall that said, we've got to get deeper into the relationship with our client relative to managed services. I do believe that the network tower as an outsourcing vertical is going to be a very, very big growth engine in 2009, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And so we were trying to figure out through the beginning of 2007 well, where and how do we attack this marketplace? And part of it was our launch of IntelliTrack, trying to get a little bit deeper than just traditional TDM. But I didn't see it being a very prudent decision to borrow or money or build infrastructure around the things you need to do to provide managed services. And so I saw a great opportunity with Alcatel Lucent, which was they have great engineering capabilities. They have global NOCs. They have provisioning centers. They have everything already up and running. And in fact, they're running many of the carriers' networks. So they have carrier class, carrier grade capabilities. And so I think we struck a very unique deal, which was we sold TAG to ALU back, I think it was August 3rd of last year. But we did it as a completely separate, wholly owned subsidiary. And the reason we did that is when you take a organization of 38 people and $10 million a year in sales, it's very entrepreneurial and fast-moving, and you put it into a $40 billion company, it's tough to keep that creativity and that entrepreneurial spirit. And the executives at Alcatel-Lucent, quite frankly, were just as passionate about that as I was. And so we sold the stock and the company to ALU, but we are a wholly owned subsidiary. So my clients who use me for consulting services haven't really seen any difference. It's the same people, processes, and tools that they saw before. We still maintain our own billing, our own accounting, our own policies and procedures. And if you were to interview my consulting clients, I think they would tell you that it was a non-event, if you will. But what it enabled us to do is now we are the only company that is positioned to help a client from benchmarking, procurement, traditional TEM / IntelliTrack services, and then also go into network management to full-blown global outsourcing, including FTE transfer and asset purchase. So my competition now is the traditional procurement companies, who I think everybody on this show probably knows who they are. I can compete with the TEM engines, and I can also compete with Accenture, IBM, and EDS globally with an outsourcing solution. And I really think that is the future where our clients are trying to go. Because of all the challenges we've talked about today, clients are trying to figure out, how do I run this more efficiently? How do I get more costs out of the business? And many times, their organizations aren't prepared for the integration of those IP-type environments. You still have the data people and the voice people, and how do you engineer and bring that together with call centers and all the applications, LAN, WAN, soft switches? How do you integrate that and then manage that effectively? It is a struggle for a lot of CEOs, and they're getting the pressure from the CFOs to reduce costs. And traditionally, this has been a vertical rich that's been either ignored or a second-class citizen, as I say. So if EDS does a big outsourcing deal with a data center environment, many times they'll throw in network. But candidly, none of the big traditional outsourcers, in my mind, focus on network and really aren't that good at providing those network capabilities. So our approach is, from an outsourcing or managed services perspective, we are only interested in the network tower. We're not interested in data centers and servers and applications in your environment. What we want to do is come in and help you rationalize and build and manage your network tower very effectively. And I think that's an area that you're starting to see more and more people go into. HP and Accenture is starting to go in that space. CSC is starting to move in that space. And I think we're uniquely positioned because of all of those companies, we're the only company that's an engineering company, building the technology. It's focused in the network vertical only. And then when you bring TAG and it's our knowledge of the transport arena into that environment, I think it's a very uniquely positioned service offering value proposition. And it has been very well received as we've gone to our client base and the Alcatel-Lucent client base over the last year. It's been very well received, and we've got a lot of interest in various forms of this managed service and outsourcing arena. So it's been an exciting year, quite frankly.
So it sounds to me like the Alcatel-Lucent acquisition hasn't really changed your corporate structure or culture. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that's very true. And that was, I think, a real coup for us and them to be able to put together this deal without disrupting core TAG's business. And so if you were to interview the people who work for me in TAG, I think they would tell you that there's been very little change, and the few changes that we've had have been mostly positive in our work environment, how we approach our clients, how we deliver our services. And that's really been a real coup, because typically when you sell a small company to a large one, as I said, you hear a lot of horror stories about how that works. And in this case, I think by putting up these firewalls appropriately, we've been able to keep the integrity of what TAG is, which is a very vibrant, fast-growing business that focuses on delivering quality, great services to our clients, but at the same time tap into the resources and the global scale of Alcatel-Lucent. And I think it was unique. It did take us 8 months to negotiate the contract between us, which is probably 100 pages with all these things clearly documented. But it certainly was worth the time and energy to do that. And I think if you talk to the executives at AOU that were part of this, I think they'd say the same thing.
That's cool. You know, it sounds very exciting to me. And it sounds like you're pumped up almost like an entrepreneur who just started a company, the way it sounds. So,
well, in many cases, that's the case, because we still have TAG growing and doing the things that it's been doing. And I do get very excited about this network tower. I do think it is the future of where telephony is going. Again, it's a place where it's hard to keep up with the changes that are happening, and at the same time, the carriers are continuing to, in my mind, commoditize themselves. Everybody knows the service delivery and the account team support isn't what it used to be, and you really have to be self-reliant. And I think if you're faced with continuing to invest in people and training to manage and build out these global environments, or look to an engineering company to help do that, I think that's the trend where clients are starting to look for the help in this space. And we want to be there at the right time with a uniquely positioned offer, and I think we're doing that.
So when you announced this purchase, was there any reaction from your current customers?
You know what is interesting, and is what I kind of hoped for, it was anything from sort of benign and ho-hum, because, again, we promised that the people, process, and tools, if you want to stay as a consulting client, nothing will change, and we've been able to deliver that. And the thing about Lucent and Alcatel, particularly Lucent, is that most people know who they are, but you probably haven't bought anything from them because they sell big, giant switches and technology to carriers. And so they have, I think, a very positive brand recognition without a lot of, if you will, baggage. That, you know, if you talk about AT&T, everybody either likes them or hates them. If you talk about EDF, everybody likes them or hates them. And I think Lucent has a well-respected brand relative to the Bell Labs and the engineering, as with Alcatel, without carrying a lot of baggage into that initial reaction. And we're also approaching a vertical that's relatively new. Most clients that I have aren't thinking about the type of service proposition and value proposition that we're talking about with them as part of this network tower outsourcing. So it's been anywhere from very positive to sort of neutral and benign, which is really all you can hope for, really.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So the question, which is interesting, is if you go to the flip side of that, and that is the current Alcatel-Lucent customers, are they also seeing some sort of benefit from TAG services?
Yeah, absolutely. And that will continue to grow, Rich. If you think of the traditional Alcatel-Lucent customer, it's a carrier. And in that case, we don't have any real value proposition for a carrier. But we are working within the services organization, which is what we're part of, to help our clients understand the marketplace, do some benchmarking, rationalize their services, talking about PEM and those types of things. So in that case, the services clients that we have today are starting to see some benefit, and that will continue to be the case as our services business grows, which is probably the fastest growing line within the Alcatel-Lucent group of businesses right now.
So one of the things we talked earlier about was the wireless business and how it's personal, and people may not like to be told what service provider they should use, et cetera, and obviously the device. I think in the last few years we've seen that the device has become super personal with the iPhone, et cetera. in general, can you make some comments about the wireless market and how it's been changing your business or just incorporated into your business?
Yeah, absolutely. The wireless space is a very fast-growing portion of our consulting practice. Again, it's one of those areas where IT organizations are really starting to want to get their hands around the expense because it's grown very rapidly, and it's grown in most cases without a lot of oversight.
Right.
People just getting phones. There's no central strategy around it. And the other thing that really is hot right now is security and how security is being implemented on these smart devices, the Trio, the Blackberries, whatever, because you have lots of corporate information that used to be much easier to manage in a closed environment, now on these devices that are easily lost, stolen, used, misplaced, what have you. So there's a need from a cost perspective and also a security perspective to manage that environment. And so that is an area we spend a lot of time in, both on the consulting side and procurement, and an area in our outsourcing business, whether it be just a fulfillment and outsourcing of the wireless environment or the entire network tower, security around those devices is huge. I have an associate, David Schofield, who runs that environment for us in our wireless space, and it might even be worth doing another show sometime, Rich, with him.
Sure.
He's an absolute guru in that security space and the challenges, and I think your audience would really benefit a lot from just hearing from him on all of the things that are going on just in security around the wireless environment.
That sounds great. Now, interesting thing that's happened in the last few months is this whole $99 plan phenomena. What do you guys think about that, and how will that affect business?
Well, I think that's a great idea from a Sprint perspective, given even you know what they have happening and where they're going and what's happening with their business and their company. It's going to be interesting how that translates into the enterprise space. So that's really a consumer-based offer, and when you look, you only have like one line, one subscriber. They boxed that in, and if you look at the history of telephony, a lot of times, like long-distance rates were, for a long time, cheaper for consumers than they were for business, and the carriers will argue, well, it's because the bill's more complex, and I have to provide account team support, and I have to do all these things, and I add my cost to it, and it causes frustration when a client can buy something for their home, and they can't buy it when they spend $20 million from the same carrier for their enterprise, and it's hard for the carriers to rationalize that, and I think you're going to see that start happening in this space, but the bundled service is definitely, people have been talking about it for a long time. They've been dancing around the periphery of that, and I think it's a natural thing that's going to happen, and it's going to start to flow through and change some of the dynamics on the enterprise and how what they expect from the carriers in that arena, particularly when you're looking at retail or a vertical that has lots of small locations.
It's interesting that you mention that because I know that with one of the other carriers that they announced a $99 special monthly all-you-can-eat in terms of voice and data, and they was it voice and data? Actually, it was voice only, but they said that your traditional corporate discount won't apply. So, just kind of interesting how.
Yeah, when you dig into that, they're trying not to totally undermine the enterprise revenue stream they have with that. You're going to find it targeted to the consumer space, but it builds an expectation. And once that happens, the pressure starts coming in. And so it will have an impact as those walls that they've built come down. And again, you saw that with long distance rates 5 or 6 years ago. It still happens today. I have clients in certain states, take Missouri, where at home they get an intra-Missouri rate cheaper than you can buy on a $10 million enterprise agreement through the WEC. So those anomalies happen, and they do ultimately pressure the enterprise, and that's benefit for us.
So I've got a question in terms of how you sell your services, and you have an interesting business model in that a lot of times you're doing something for a company that they think that they may be able to do themselves, and they may not need to outsource or go to another company who may have expertise in the field. What do you say to a CIO or CEO that may not be considering working with a company such as yours? What are the reasons for them to consider working with you?
That's a great question, Richard. And most times our competition, if you will, is not other people in my space, but it's internal resources. And and you got to divide your clients into two buckets. So one who believes in specialization and believes that I manage the spend, which means I bring in expertise as I need to. And I think that's really progressive thinking. And I think no matter what it is, whether it's our business or others, you're going to start to see these areas of expertise and you build these virtual teams to accomplish projects. And in that space, that's what we do. In many cases, however, it's a more of a personal thing. I own this budget. I'm a good negotiator. I know this business. And the argument there really is it's not whether or not myself or my team is a better negotiator. The issue is that this is a very specialized, very deep and narrow vertical in the procurement. And if you only do this once a year or you do this every 18 months or 36 months, there's no way that you can, in today's environment, know what the pricing is for those services. What are the flexibilities and the terms and conditions you should be worrying about? What are the things that the carriers are doing, not what they're saying, but what they're doing? And you have to have lots of experience with them time and time and day in, day out to understand that. And that's the value that we really bring. And we'll create an environment with our client that you can either outsource the entire procurement function to me, or I'll work behind a client providing information and support if they want to be the front person to that negotiation with the carrier. So it really depends, but you really can't. And today's environment's even more challenging. 5 years ago, if you really wanted to, you could go in and pull all the tariffs and the special deals out there off the internet, and you could do evaluations and try to get some idea or picture of what the market is. The reality is today, those rates are not publicly available. So the only way to know what the market is by having the experience in the marketplace and doing lots of deals. And it's also, it landed a lot of consolidation, Rich, in our space, because you can't be in my business and do five deals a year. You don't bring that value. You've got to do a lot of deals and a lot of volume in order to really be able to box in the marketplace. And so that's what we bring to our client is, and then the last thing is, dealing with the carriers on these things is a very time-consuming project. The carriers typically aren't organized to make it easy. They never have. They're notorious for dragging things out, delays. And so most of my clients have a full-time job, and so they try to manage this off the corner of their desk. And if you don't apply daily time and energy to this, this process can drag out for 6 to 8 months to a year. I have a lot of clients who tell me that. And when you're looking at a budget item of $20 million a year, and you're looking at a 10% savings, $2 million a year, every month delay is huge. So if I can just do it faster, even if we did the same thing, which I could argue without the knowledge it's difficult to do, but if I could just do it 2 or 3 months faster, then I've already paid for myself,
right,
if I didn't even bring any additional value. So
right.
I think specialization makes a lot of sense. And the other thing is we represent more leverage. Because of the number of deals that we do, if you're trying to do a deal on your own, all you represent is what you do. If you're TAG and you have 42 deals going with the vendor at one point, well, it's harder for the vendor to tell you what the price is or isn't, because you just got one yesterday and the day before and you're getting another one tomorrow. And also, the impact of what they do has a bigger ripple effect, right? So if I have a client that isn't overly leveraged for whatever reason, they have shortfalls or they have, they've signed up to a bad contract with exclusivity or whatever, I think it's more apt that the carrier will treat my clients more fairly than if they're representing that on their own. And the last point I'll say, and you imagine I give this speech a lot, so I've got this value proposition, but the last piece is that the normal mentality from a carrier negotiation is they give you a proposal and they wonder what do you know and don't know, and then it's usually a bad one, and then you throw them out of the office and they come back with another one and you throw them out again. And that game goes on for months, and it does two things. It stresses the relationship you have with your incumbent, which necessarily is not always a good thing, and also it's very time-consuming. When TAG represents you, the carrier already knows we've done a comprehensive benchmark, so we already know what the price is, and everybody knows what the best price ought to be, and we do that before we even engage the carrier. Now the only discussion is, what are our leverage points to incent the carrier to give us the best price? So instead of it being a fishing expedition, which is what typically happens when a client negotiates on their own, we already know all the facts, and now we're just talking about tactics and negotiation strategies to achieve that. And so it's a very different environment. And so you add all that together, and I think it's a very compelling value proposition for clients to consider when they're getting ready to engage the vendors.
Oh, this was fantastic, Dieter. I've got to say, I really appreciate this time you took to share with the listeners what's happening with your company. You've been listening to Dieter Thompson, who's the CEO of TAG, on a TMCNet podcast. My name's Rich Tarani, and thank you all very much for listening. And, Dieter, thank you very much for participating in the podcast.
Thanks, Rich, and good luck.